Welcome to the second edition of Rossville Remembers Oral Histories, brought to you by the Rossville Community Library, recorded on May 15, 2013. Part of the mission of this project is to collect, record, and share Rossville stories, both old and new. Today, Eric and Melissa Danifer are with us, sharing their memories of the Rossville flood of 2005.
It was a beautiful Sunday morning. I remember the sun shining. It was a beautiful fall morning, and we were at church. Eric was the youth minister there, and they came through and said that they were evacuating Main Street. I thought, really? It's beautiful. Why would they be evacuating Main Street? And me, not being originally from Rossville, thought, oh, it'll be fine. It's not a big deal. It'll be okay. And I had a couple of different Rossvillian people come to me and say, no, really, they're evacuating Rossville, Main Street. And I just kept thinking, okay, well, we'll go. And at the time, I was 9 months pregnant. It was October 2nd. We were going to the hospital on October 5th to be induced with our second daughter, Clara. Naomi was 15 months old, so we had a 15-month-old, and I was pregnant with Clara 3 days before my induction. And so I was very pregnant. Thankfully, we had some families come over to the house. Eric was staying at church.
And we lived on North Main Street, so we needed to have our house evacuated.
Right. Eric had to stay at the church and kind of help get things ready there and be responsible, you know, take care of his responsibilities there. Well, I went home, and it was Naomi's nap time, so she was taking a nap in her crib. And thankfully, two families from the church had come, and they were going to help carry things from the basement up to the upper level. And I was just thinking important things, like wedding dress and some books, and it was not a finished basement at the time. We had begun the process of finishing the basement. So we had some drywall in there, and we had a washer and dryer and a couch and a TV and entertainment center, just some basic things down there. I thought, just take simple stuff, basic stuff. Didn't want to put them out, but yet, you know, wanted to get the important stuff. And they said, oh no, Melissa, you don't know what Rossville floods are like. And I thought, okay. So they took everything. Well, I'd say 90% of everything. We left the couch and left the entertainment center because they were given to us free, so they weren't worth anything. And I'm really thankful they did, because at the end of it all, the basement was entirely filled with water. You could see a rim of dirt around the light bulb hanging from the floor joist. There was a rim of dirt where the water level had reached. So I'm very thankful that I didn't listen and that they were wiser than I, and that I will never forget kind of the anxiety of, wow, this is really happening. And Eric did come home.
Yes, I did.
It was about lunchtime that you came home, right? Do you remember?
Yeah, I came home and everything was upstairs, which was overwhelming but good. After they left, we began to move the vehicles because the drainage ditch started to back up and water started to come from the north of Main Street up the ditches.
And your dad, Daryl, had come up. He was riding around on his bike.
Yeah.
Checking things out.
And so he was talking to us about it, and we could just see it just slowly coming up the ditches from the north. So we got our vehicles out of there. And I actually remember the neighbor was gone and felt really bad, because as the water started to come up over the driveway, it was in his driveway. It was getting close to his car. We actually tried to get in his car and move it, but we couldn't. It was locked up, so his car got some nice water damage. But so the family left, and I stayed to try to do everything I could to keep water out of the house.
And if I might add, I remember, I think your dad had put a stake in the ground of where at one point the water level was, it had moved a foot within 10 minutes.
So what I was doing was, in the basement, I was actually shutting off power in the basement and running a electrical cord from upstairs down to the sump pump, so that as water came in, if and as water was coming in, it would actually start to pump it out. Because we had no idea how large this flood was going to be at this point. We knew that it was projecting to be a pretty bad one, but you never know. And so I had this electrical cord draped along the floor joist, nailing it up really quick, and then down to the sump pump and turning off the breaker box, which was in the basement, the breakers that were in the base, running the basement outlets and such. Not knowing that the flood water was going to fill the basement and cover the entire breaker box to the whole house. Then I went outside and people were driving around and the water was continuing to come up and it was filling Main Street at this point. And people were out gawking, which is quite typical, but
frustrating.
Also very annoying outside of the big sand trucks and such that were coming to help with sandbags. People were driving their huge 4x4 trucks and rather quickly. And when you drive through water rather quickly, it creates a wave. So actually they're pushing water into our little garage at the front of our house. And I was quite annoyed, even hollering at folks to slow down, but they were too busy looking to notice any of that. So then the water just kept coming and started coming in through cracks in the basement walls and our cement block foundation. And it became evident to me that this was a losing battle and I wasn't gonna be able to keep water out of the basement. So went over to our aunt's house at that point, I believe.
Which was on Pearl, at Pearl and Perry.
And we thought, okay.
And that's where I had gone to. We had moved our cars to the south side of the tracks over to the high school. And me being pregnant didn't really need to be in the water, and so I went to his aunt's house,
which we thought would be in a safer zone, but then the water filled up around their house. And so what we did was went and borrowed a boat.
People were walking around with boats.
People were rowing boats on the north side of the railroad tracks because it became a lake. And so we borrowed one from the Newshams, I believe. They were out trying to help sandbag with people. And so I actually went and got that boat and put Melissa and Naomi.
And our dog.
And Copper in the boat. And I pushed the boat to the dam that was the railroad tracks.
Main Street. You pushed me to Main Street.
Main Street was underwater, but not at the railroad tracks. It served as a levee.
Right.
To keep the water on the north side.
I was just thankful that there were no photographers around because I really felt like a hick. I had the dog, the toddler, and I was enormously pregnant. And here I was being pushed by my husband in a John boat. And I could just see that being plastered all over media nationwide.
Yeah, people were looking at
Look
that.
Look what's happening in
they
Kansas.
That was crazy. Her mom and sister came and you went to their house in Tonganoxie. And I stayed at my parents' house. And no water was in their house, but there was water in their basement. And went in the boat that night when it was dark, rowed the boat up to our house, and all the lights were still on the house, which I had tried to. There was a removable power globe on the outside of the house that you can actually take out to cut power, and we couldn't get it out before, and so we just left it. And I assumed all the power would be off. But there were still lights on in the house with the breaker box submerged in the basement. So that was kind of crazy. But water was about 4 feet deep in places on Main Street, definitely. So it was a pretty wild scene.
But our basement was full.
Yes.
To the rafters.
And I remember...
About 6 inches from the main floor.
Some cars trying to drive through it and had gotten stuck and just sitting along the road underwater. So it was kind of crazy too. So that was the night of the flood.
Your hopes in going back were to start pumping it out.
No, I was just going to look at that point. And then the next morning, Melissa's father and one of his friends came and we pumped out the basement as the water had receded enough. But there was still, in our backyard, there's quite a drop to the easement. And the water had been up to about a foot from the top of the fence in the backyard, and there was toys, like kid toys, slides, a little house, things like this floating around in the water and had been pushed up against the fence. And
thankfully the fence was there because
the fence was all bent too from the pressure and other people's trash and stuff and whatever, corn and harvest remains in our backyard all over the place. So that was interesting. And then we pumped it out and we're very careful as we began pumping because of the power being on. end up being submerged, but everything worked out okay.
That day we had about 20 people, some we didn't even know, show up to the house and help. I think people felt sorry for that really pregnant lady. We loaded the trailer up and moved everything, all of our belongings that were in the basement, moved it up to his grandparents' house just north of town where there would be no flood water. And then we started the squeegeeing. Red Cross had come in to the Catholic Church and had set up stations down there. And I remember squeegeeing, or I didn't, obviously, but hearing about it anyway. And Red Cross being down there, and very thankful for that program because we had food for everybody that was working and for all the people that were displaced. And so we did a lot of work in 2 days before we went to the hospital and had a baby.
Yeah, the remains of things that were left in the basement. They were helping us haul out an old couch, and we actually had to cut it in half because it was so waterlogged and heavy to get it out of there.
Right. And through this, because we did have flood insurance, they did pay for us to have a new basement poured. And that was, 3 weeks or so after Hurricane Katrina. So a lot of the flood adjusters were down in the south in New Orleans and had Clara Thursday morning. Friday, Eric was meeting with the flood adjuster, coming out and looking at things and being declared unlivable, and then him saying that insurance was going to pay for a new basement.
Yeah, which was very shocking because everything we'd heard about flood insurance was it just doesn't do much for you. So I was hoping that they would replace our furnace and our breaker box, but they actually said, well, no, we're going to replace your basement because the hydraulic pressure had pushed the concrete blocks in and damaged it enough. So then we began the process of, I was general contractor and going out and getting bids and figuring out who's going to do what and lift and hold the house with a hydraulic lift. And the house went up about 2.5 feet and was set on some cribbing piles. And then the basement was tore out underneath and got everything redone. And we moved back into the home December 23rd. So we lived in an RV for a while with a newborn, and then we actually lived with my parents for a while the house was getting fixed up. And actually moving back into our house at Christmas time was kind of a festive time, and I had the 12 Days of Christmas song ringing around my head, so I actually rewrote that. The first day of Christmas, CrossCrete gave to me a brand new basement for free, and I went clear through and I had something for each day of Christmas. So that was kind of fun.
Thank you for listening to this Rossville Remembers Oral History podcast. For more information or additional recordings, visit our website at www.rossvillelibrary.org.